I have to welcome Dr. Roisin Higgins. Good morning, Doctor. How are you today?
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are things over in Teesside?
They're not too bad. The weather is very bright. It's a nice, crisp spring morning.
Good, good. Of course, that's where, is it Middlesbrough?
Yeah,
that's right. So they're not, as a football supporter, I'm not sure what division they're in now. Anyway, you lose track of these teams now every once in a while. Anyway.
Well, they're hoping for promotion, if anybody is interested. They're looking good for promotion to the Premiership.
Oh, very good.
Year.
Yeah, and of course, there's an extra, I don't know how well up you are in the football. I think there's an extra 75 million or something being thrown up into the league, the Premier League next year. So I'm sure any club would be delighted with that. Anyway, now the reason you're on, it's not about football. Okay, so you're coming over to give a talk actually here in the Civic Centre on the 30th of March about the whole 1916 and who owns the Easter Rising. Is that the general gist of your debate?
That is the general gist, yes. I'm hoping the audience will really get involved in it. My research is on commemoration of the Rising, and my interest really is in why it matters so much in Irish society, and also the way in which the memory of it operates in Irish society. So, for example, you know, through its history, there have been times when it's been a very difficult commemoration for the state, particularly of obviously during the Troubles, but even in the early years, you know, in the first decades of the Free State, it was a way for Republicans to challenge the authority of the Cumann na Gael government. And then, you know, you could see Republicans challenge then De Valera and Lamass, who themselves had run their alternative commemorative parades when they were in opposition. So I suppose in that, I think what is really interesting about the Easter Rising is it always gives us a way to talk about really important themes within Irish society. And so, and governments, and they do this throughout the world, will always try and control those big commemorations. And in fact, what we see all the time is the Irish people say, no, you don't own it.
Yes, yeah.
So it's interesting to see, well, if the state doesn't own it, who does?
Yeah, and because I remember as a young fella, kind of the military marches there used to be on Easter Sunday up and down O'Connell Street and that, and then they just stopped, you know, for various reasons. So, yeah, I suppose that is the problem, that who does own the Easter Rising, and I suppose that. And what kind of people are you hoping to come along to your presentation?
Anybody who's interested in any way in the Rising. And because I think if people get involved and we can get a good debate going, then we'll really begin to understand why this is such a massive commemoration. I mean, I think even, you know, 10 years ago for the 90th anniversary, there was a big, you know, a big kind of celebration. It was a big Celtic Tiger moment. And, you know, there was all of the kind of, they said we couldn't rule ourselves and look, aren't we, you know, what a great job we're making of it. And then, of course, in the years
the
followed,
wheels came off the, yes, yeah.
The wheels really came off.
Yeah, things kind of went slightly
so that on. Makes it very different. It did. And so this time, I think people are looking much more at that original event and what it means, you know, and what happened, and uncovering all of these different stories, so that it's not just a straightforward tale. It actually brings in stories of the poor. Women are in many ways the big story of the centenary, you know, the way in which the history of women has been marginalised and now they're being brought back into the centre. And so, and there's a real interest in all of this. And I think it is a way in which the population itself is reclaiming the Rising and saying, no, it's not going to be used to sell a particular message by the state, by the government, you know. And the families have always been there saying, we're the inheritors. You know, is it the families? You know, does it mean the same if you live in North Dublin or South Dublin? Does it mean the same if you live in Cork or in Belfast? You know,
yeah.
Who does it belong to?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, because I suppose unfortunately with our turbulent history in the Civil War and all that kind of stuff, there was a lot of people kind of weren't talked about or got lost in translation or in the whole narrative of the 1916 Rising, and one side or the other kind of saying that, as you're saying, owned it or didn't own it, and the other side not even being represented or wanting to be represented at some of the different functions, which was unfortunate at the time. But sure, I suppose they were the times we lived in, and how that has kind of shaped us. And And do you think that that has shaped who we are and that kind of stuff down through the years?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think if you want to know any society, you look at the things it doesn't talk about as even more than the things it does. And you're right, that kind of narrative of who was in and who was out and where did power lie then? Who were the inheritors? What was the revolutionary project and who did it put into power? And, you know, there have always been people in this society who've said, that's not what the revolutionary project was about. It wasn't to put them in a government and let right. them, you know, have power. And you know, so there's always been this back with this to and fro. And you're right, that kind of what's the important story being told here? And the Easter Rising and then, you know, the Civil War was so difficult and is still difficult. It, I mean, that's going to be really interesting what we do with that in the next few years. But for the moment, the Rising is the one, it's an event that a lot of people feel connected to. They feel, you know, it took place before all the division and the awfulness. But there's also that First World War story in there that wasn't told, and
yes,
kind of the
yeah.
shame
yeah.
around that. So yeah, it's, you know, it does, it tells us a lot about who we are as people, the kind, the stories that we've silenced.
Yes, I suppose that's well, and I suppose it's great now. Okay, I know it's 100 years on, but at least we're now talking about it in a rational and kind of well, a better, more, you know, kind of more considered opinion, that nobody is kind of throwing stones at one another in a political sense, should I say, about the whole thing. Do you think that's the best way about it, or should there still be a more biased approach?
Well, I don't know that I would say a biased approach, but I think a good passionate debate doesn't do anybody any harm.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I think we, you know, I wouldn't want people to, you know, if people felt really just self-satisfied and celebratory, then that, I think that might be a little bit of a missed opportunity. You know, the Rising itself was a challenge to the system as it existed. And it would be nice to think that its anniversaries always allow people the opportunity to, you know, have a good look at the society and decide what they like and don't like about it. And think about, you know, to think about inequalities and think about the way in which authority operates across the society, because that's what the original event was doing.
Yes.
So it's, I think it's interesting if we can use that then to look at the structure of the society itself, and, you know, and not necessarily just sit there and say, oh, aren't we great and very mature now that we're all level-headed and isn't it fantastic? You know, like, have a bit of a debate.
Yes, yes. And if people have a particular view, listen to it. And particularly, I suppose, with the elections coming up, that, you know, people are now thankfully quoting large parts of you know, we had the Northside debate here live last night, and there was people quoting James Connolly and all sorts of people who hitherto I don't think they would have even known about or even mentioned in their chat on the radio. You know, it's amazing, thankfully, that these ideals, as you're saying, are now being rekindled, and people are looking at society
yeah.
to say, you know, well, have we really, what have we done for the downtrodden and that, and different sections of our community?
That's right. I mean, there's a richness in them. There's a, you know, they were really interesting thinkers, and they were important thinkers, James Connolly and Patrick Pearse,
yeah.
you know, and people like Thomas McDonagh. And it's not that, you, that I'm saying that we have to agree with everything.
Yes.
They said we
yeah.
don't.
Yeah.
But at least they give us another way of thinking about things. And
yeah.
I think all countries are in need of that every now and again. You
Absolutely.
Know, we get locked into very kind of, you know, limited ways of seeing things, and we don't see other opportunities or other possibilities. And I think that's why people are really interested in the Rising. I think that's why the centenary has been so important. It's that it gives people the sense that there are other ways of doing things, and that there are possibilities, you know, other possibilities out there. And you don't have, that doesn't mean that, you know, there are going to be people in the GPO with guns, but it does mean,
well, hopefully
that people
not.
Are going
no.
to say, you know, so that's
replica
so,
guns be allowed. Yeah.
That's what I'm advocating. But you know, it's a good time to really, just to think about what they wrote and read it. And as you say, people are so much more engaged in all of
yes.
this stuff. It's
yeah.
fantastic.
Yeah, it's great. Well, look, Doctor, thank you very much for for joining us all the way from the UK. And can I just remind everybody that the talk, it's an afternoon here actually in the Civic Centre. It starts at 12:45 and then there's a small play which our own Jack Byrne has written about killing Connolly, and then your chat or your talk or discussion, is that the best way to describe it? Your discussion is from...
Yeah, I'll kind of open it and then it'll be... Yeah, so I'll talk... But really the interest, I think, will be in what the audience has to say.
Yeah.
You know.
So that's on the 30th of March. It's here in the Civic Centre. You'll be on there at about 1 o'clock. And as you're saying then, after about half one, there'll be an open discussion and a question and answer session. And I'd say it'd be great crack. And we're looking forward to you coming over to speak to us.
Brilliant. Okay, hello.
Thanks a lot, Roisin. Cheers. Thanks very much. We'll talk to you again. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Now, of course, that was Dr. Roisin there, and she's coming over, as I said, it should be a good afternoon. So if you have any interest in that, I think come along and we'll talk about it later on, I suppose, near the time.